Greetings. This is John DeLancey, and you are listening to This Week in Geek.net.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geek.net's The Nerd News Network. Today is Friday, May 16th, 2014. Holy shit, it has been a week. I've got some exciting news. I'm actually really friggin' happy for today. Lots of good stuff. So on the site this week, not a whole lot happened. We are recording prototypes tomorrow, so look for those early next week. And I'm recording 3 or 4 Beyond the Gauntlets tomorrow. So this week's just been really busy. Yeah, we're going to do something with the My Little Pony finale, which aired last weekend. So if you want to get people chatting about that, you want us to do stuff, talk on the My Little, talk on Last Sex at the Ponyvilles Facebook page. I would love to get Trevor and Laura in on this. If not, perhaps me and Blair will do it. So anyway, so last night, as I often do, I like to tell a story before we start today's news. I get a phone call from a number I don't recognize. I'm like, well, what's the worst that could happen? At best, I get to tell someone to fuck off. So I get this phone call, and they're like, hi, we're from so-and-so. Did you enter a contest at this and such? And I'm thinking, all right, well, this is the second phone call I've gotten this week about this. Whatever, I'll play along. So I say, yes, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I did this. Yes, I did that. I'm like, all right, you have an awful lot of specific information relating to what the hell I actually did. They're like, well, sir, we're pleased to tell you that you have won a trip to Las Vegas for two, retail value of $10,000. And you get to meet MMA fighter George St. Pierre. Now, for those of you that don't know who the hell that is, think of Batroc, the Leaper, from Captain America, the Winter Soldier. The guy he kicks the shit out of on the boat that's taken over by S.H.I.E.L.D. So, yeah, that was pretty friggin' cool. But it's me, I assume. This is bullshit, whatever. So I'm like, okay. They're like, yeah, we're just leaving the office right now. We'll send you an email in the morning, and we'll get you to fill out some forms. Party on. Right. So this morning rolls around. The email's there. I'm thinking, all right, well, you're going through an awful lot of trouble if this is a scam. Start doing a little bit more research. I actually went through 7-Eleven Canada's records about it. Went through Facebook, Twitter. Looked on my phone. Did I actually enter this contest? And thinking, holy shit, I actually did. And it was one night while I was watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something. So anyway, you do all that. Papers are signed. We're going to Vegas. How fucking cool is that? I don't know anything more about it other than the fact that I get to hang out with the guy. I'm there for 3 days and 2 nights, flying me round trip from Toronto, probably. They say coach. They don't know how chunky I am, so I guess we'll wait and see what happens. Otherwise, I'm going to squeeze my ass into a tight seat, and that'll be fun. But still, yeah, I'm really excited. So this may be me and Blair's unexpected real quote-unquote honeymoon. So yeah, that's pretty fucking cool. Just really wanted to share that. I'm hype. Let's talk about what happened around the world of geekdom this week. All the news that you need to know going into the Victoria Day long weekend if you happen to be from Canada. Well, I'm trying to think. How do I want to start this off? I could start off weird, I could start off sad, or I could start off kind of cool. Actually, let's talk about something kind of fucked up, if you will. If you're Canadian, The big theater chain to beat is Cineplex Odeon. They own Galaxy Cinemas, Ultra AVX, all that thing. Basically, if you see a movie in Canada, you're likely going to these guys. Well, have I got some shitty news for you. So what they're doing, they're going to be doing a pilot project at the Odeon in at Varsity. And they're going to ask you to pay an extra $2 to $3 for prime seats in the middle of the theater. Now, here's the funny thing. The guy, Pat Marshall, she's the spokeswoman for Cineplex Odeon, has said, "We've had great success with our Ultra AVX cinemas, as well as our VIP cinemas, which both offer reserved seating, and so people really like that opportunity. It's really about providing our guests with choices when they go to the movies. I sort of position it akin to an aircraft. You have your regular coach seating, and then if you want a bit more amenities, you can go to business class, and then you have a first class." You know, it's funny. I actually had a conversation about this with one of the hosts of Beyond the Gauntlet, Chris, yesterday, saying if this does become successful, he sees this as a lot less people going to the movies, and I can't say I disagree with that. However, though, that being said, certain movies I will pay more for. For example, when I go to see something like, say, Transformers, Days of Future Past, or any of the really big Marvel movies, I will go to an Ultra AVX, or I'll go to a VIP, because I don't have to deal with stupid kids, I can have a drink at machine I want, I can have food, and the seats are a little bit roomier. So, I think this is honestly going to catch on, because they're basically applying it to the everyday cinema. Now, I think they'd have to upgrade everything to Ultra AVX and have that be the standard. But, I don't know. I really wonder how this is actually going to go down. Like I said, this is more of interest to Canadians than anybody else. So I guess we'll find out if the pilot project's successful when the ticket prices go up. Mind you, I tend to sit on the side. I tend to sit near handicapped seating because, A, no one's going to friggin' bother me. Two, I technically am handicapped. And three, I like to put my feet up. And it's how I roll. Now, they're also talking about expanding their arcade offerings. If that means we can get a little less Dance Dance Revolution and a little more Shooters or Street Fighter 4, I'm all for that. In fact, one of my favorite theaters is actually one in Guelph, Ontario. They actually have a Street Fighter 4 machine. I'll actually purposely go there just to play that and kick the crap out of the kids there because ain't nobody got nothing on me. Moving on. This story was sent in by Arthur, and the military is looking to build robots that have morals, and the Office of Naval Research will grant $7.5 million over the next 5 years to university researchers from Tufts Reznor, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, Polytechnic Institute, Brown, Yale, and Georgetown, to explore how to build a sense of right and wrong and moral consequence into autonomous robotic systems. Pat Bellow, the director of cognitive sciences over at the Office of Naval Research, told them, "Even though today's unmanned systems are dumb in comparison to a human counterpart, strides are being made quickly to incorporate more automation at a faster pace than we've seen before." For example, Google's self-driving cars are legal and in use in several states at this point. As researchers, we are playing catch-up, trying to figure out the ethical and legal implications. We do not want to be caught similarly flat-footed in any kind of military domain where lives are at stake. Now, there actually is a prohibition, maybe that's it. The United States military actually has a that in place where they can't have fully lethal autonomous robots. Although semi-autonomous robots can't select and engage individual targets or specific target groups that have not been previously selected by an authorized human operator, even in the event the contact with the operator is cut off, according to a 2012 Department of Defense policy directive. The director, Bellow, says, "Even if such systems aren't armed, they may still be forced to make moral decisions." They're talking about robots being able to work in disaster scenarios, basically, you know, who do I save first? Suffer the little children or whatever. So it's interesting the fact that they're trying to talk about literally inventing AI with a conscience. Now, thank God it shouldn't end up like Skynet and we get all bombed to shit because it decides, you know what would help stop wars? People. Let's kill the people. So I'm really hoping that this does lead to something interesting. in terms of robotics and artificial intelligence. And someday, my friends, we will have Terminators or RoboCops or any sort of other interesting developments in the future involving robotics. The next story that I want to talk about, and this one's a little bit sadder, but I'm really in a huge support of this. I'm actually just posting this on my Facebook right now. Once again, if you want to follow me, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at BirdmanDodd, I post annoyingly a lot. So, there's this guy, he's 60 years old, his name is Stratford Callcott. Pretty sure I butchered that name. And he recently just had his 60th birthday party. And in October of 2011, he was diagnosed with advanced prostate cancer. And they told him, you don't have a whole lot of time left, so start making your peace. So this guy maybe has 12 weeks left to live, and it's not likely he's going to get to the movies. This is where this comes in. He really wants to see Captain America, the Winter Soldier. He's been a huge fan of the comics. He's been collecting for most of his life. And odds are he's not going to make it to August when this finally comes out on DVD and Blu-ray. So his sister has been trying to get, or sorry, his daughter rather, has been trying to get Marvel to send him a copy of the movie before it comes out. And she actually convinced Chris Evans, Mark Ruffalo, I was going to say Eric Bana, Chris Hemsworth, and Robert Downey Jr., and Nick Fury, and Hawkeye, basically everybody, oh, and Tom Hiddleston, where you can put, there's a hashtag, which is actually getting a lot of attention, and it's hashtag Cap for Strat. And these guys have taken pictures of themselves with this hashtag, and it's got Captain America for Strat, at Marvel, hashtag Cap for Strat, Banner / Hulk for Strat, at Marvel, and it's got everybody doing this. And I really hope this happens. They also have Sebastian Stan, Haley Atwell, most of the people from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The only one who hasn't done it so far was Scarlett Johansson. I suspect that will change in the next day or two. So they're hoping this will actually happen. This isn't the first time this has happened. I know there was a story for Star Trek late last year, and back in 2003, there was a guy who wanted to see Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. The guy spoke Elvish, and he was able to work it out with the filmmakers that he could see a rough, unfinished cut of the movie. But still, that's something pretty cool. And I would like my last wish to be something similar. Like, I don't know, show me the new Transformers movie or something. You know, because it's something small, but it brings such a joy to people. So I will be putting that in the hashtag for this episode, Cap for Strat. I really wish this guy could pull out of this, but Sam Jackson says to fight on. So I hope that he will. Good luck, man. And I really hope this works out for you in some capacity. So let's move on to something a little bit stranger. And I picked this story up off of, what website is this? The Independent over in the UK. And this one's going to come off as a little bit weird. But there was a... I'm trying to think, how do I describe this? They're talking at the Vatican, and they're talking about the concept of acceptance and inclusion. And Pope Francis said he would baptize aliens. And he says this, and I quote, "Who are we to close doors?" And that's something really cool. And he went on to say, he said, "Catholicism is a church of open doors, and that was up to Christians to accept the Holy Spirit. However, unthinkable and imagined as it appeared." He said, "If, for example, tomorrow an expedition of Martians came to us and one said, 'I want to be baptized,' what would happen?" He said, "When the Lord shows us the way, who are we to say, 'No, Lord, it is not prudent. No, let's do it this way.' Who are we to close doors?" And this actually isn't the first time this has come up. This came up under Pope Benedict back in 2010, where somebody asked, "Would you baptize an alien?" And he said, any entity, no matter how many tentacles it has a soul. And that's probably about the most positive thing I can think about of Pope Benedict, because I didn't really follow his career, and in my opinion, really didn't make any real splashes. But I could very well be wrong, so feedback thisweekingeek.net if you think I'm a fucking idiot. Moving on. Let me see, I got two more stories here. And this one was actually kind of cool. So, they think after 500 years, Christopher Columbus's flagship, the Santa Maria, has been found. And it may be lying at the bottom of the ocean off the north coast of Haiti. One of America's top underwater archaeological investigators, Barry Clifford, says, "All the geographical and underwater topography and archaeological evidence strongly suggests that this wreck is Columbus's famous flagship, the Santa Maria. The Haitian government has been extremely helpful, and we now need to continue working with them to carry out a detailed archaeological excavation of the wreck." So yeah, they've been going out there, they've been taking measurements, they've been photographing it. This is really, really quite cool. Just the fact 500 years it's taken to find this thing, and I don't know, it almost seems like a blink of an eye in terms of human civilization. But yeah, I think that's really pretty freaking cool. I really hope it actually is that. And it's funny, I actually know a girl who went to school for underwater archaeology. Would have been really cool had she finished school for that, because maybe she could have been a part of this, who knows. So they've been looking for this thing. They've been using marine magnetometers, side scan sonar, divers, and they've investigated over 400 seabed anomalies off the north coast of Haiti. But yeah, this pretty awesome. Like I said, the fact that they maybe found this. So anyway, final story for this week. As you guys know, Birdman loves space. Space is fucking cool. You should be watching Cosmos on Fox. Man, never thought I'd say that. But anyway, so Jupiter, the gas giant in our solar system, largest object outside of the sun. Well, as you guys all know, there's the Great Red Spot, which is this huge storm that could fit Earth in it, like, a lot, like, easily four or five times, probably a lot more, and probably, it's probably something like 1,000 Earths, I don't know. Anyway, recent Hubble Space Telescope images have shown that the storm is shrinking, and it has been for quite some time, and I don't know why. So I'm actually going to read this to you in the entirety, just so you can kind of get an idea of just how bad this has happened. This comes from space.com, by the way. Recent Hubble Space Telescope images of the storm show that it is now 10,250 miles across, which is less than half the size of the storm in the late 1800s. At one point, scientists theorized that three Earths could fit inside the Great Red Spot, but today, only the width of one Earth would fit inside the raging tempest. As the spot diminishes, its shrinkage rate appears to be accelerating. Amateur observations from 2012 show the storm's waistline is reducing by 580 miles a year, a little less than the driving distance from New York City to Cincinnati. Nobody knows for sure why the Great Red Spot is getting smaller. One possibility is that some unknown activity in the planet's atmosphere may be draining energy and weakening the storm, causing it to shrink, Hubble officials wrote in a statement. While the storm has been observed since the 1600s, astronomers didn't discover the downsizing until 1930. The spot was estimated at 25,500 miles across in the late 1800s. A century later, Voyager 1 and 2, the flybys that happened in 1979, discovered that the axis had shrunk to 14,500 miles. That's weird. That's really scary, really nuts, is the fact that we're seeing this thing shrink in human measurable lifetimes. And the thing that's shrinking by 500 something miles a year? I don't know, man. I mean, this thing could disappear in our lifetimes. And it's kind of funny because this isn't the first time that we've seen this. When Voyager 2 flew by Neptune in 1989, they saw the Great Dark Spot, And we haven't seen it in a long time. I think the last the storm was not visible to Hubble when the telescope looked at the planet back in 1994. So I guess it's just the evolving meteorology, I guess you almost could say, of the solar system and gas giants in particular. I'm trying to think if there's any satellites or any probes that are near the planet right now. I know there's one looking at Io and Ganymede, but I don't know. Still, that's interesting news, I think. Your solar system constantly evolving, constantly changing, and it's something you should always learn about because science is interesting as all hell. It makes you more... Look at it this way. I will respect you more. If you can name the planets in the solar system, if you can't name anybody from, say, the cast of the Jersey Shore or something like that, you guys get what I'm saying. But anyway, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for us here on ThisWeekInGeek.net. It is the Victoria Day long weekend, and that means special content. I'm actually going to be talking about... I'm going to be doing a new segment called Mike's TMNT Toy Box. Because as you guys know, I'm a huge fan of Ninja Turtles right now. Finally got an April and a Dog Pound and a Foot Soldier. And I'm reviewing some of the toys now, thanks to Playmates. I'm going to be looking at some of the vehicles and some of the play sets and some of the other things that I've had a chance to get my hands on recently. And I'm also just catching up on the second season of the show right now. They just need to release everything in a box set or put that shit on Netflix or not Hulu or just whatever. But anyway, guys, so I'll be looking for that. Like I said, Beyond the Gauntlet starting next week. Prototypes being recorded tomorrow. Finally fixed the voicemail line. Holy shit, it works. So you can reach us at 817-717-7202. Turns out it was my Xbox One screwing it up. Who knew? So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard. And I'll catch you guys again right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net and NerdVice.com.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face! And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f does that mean? F that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh god.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear... somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.